This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Always good to be with you from Roma.
Well, thank you, John. Buongiorno to you. Good morning. And I have to say, I love that great music that we just heard. It reminds me of my grandma, Giovanna Puglia, and the amazing gnocchi she would make with her fresh tomato sauce, putting pecorino romano on top. It brings back lots of good memories, John.
I'm so thrilled that you like that music. We play it to bring you into the mood, as we're always trying to bring Rome to home, which you do every single Wednesday for us. And also, by the way, happy fall. Being from the States, you know what it's like here in the Midwest.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? It's also cooled down here quite a bit. So we're grateful for some nice, cool evenings that we're enjoying. And it looks like fall is definitely in the air, John.
I was actually a little bit cold last night. I had to put on a hoodie watching my son play soccer under the lights. So autumn has definitely arrived. Let's talk about the main focus of our Holy Father, Pope Francis' catechesis today in the Wednesday general audience. What can you tell us about the Holy Father today?
Yes. So, of course, every Wednesday we know that the Holy Father gives a public general audience. And they have been inside of the Paul VI audience hall because that has been an easier way with the hot weather, etc. But today he's really reflecting on his trip to Budapest and Slovakia. He spoke about that apostolic visit that he took that I reported on last week. And he summarized it in one word. The word that he chose was the word together. He said he referred to that concept that the church, of course, breathes with two lungs, both the Latin and the Greek rites. And of course, that reminds me personally, as someone who has lived here in Rome for 13 years, who has shared St. Peter's Basilica with countless numbers of people, that right over the altar of the chair, the famous Bernini-designed altar of the chair, there is on the left side, there is Greek script. On the right side, there is Latin script, reminding us, of course, the way that the church comes together in one.
And
so
actually, that kind of echoes, St. John Paul II, who used to use that very same language when describing the Eastern and Western churches.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's a direct quote from Pope St. John Paul II. And Pope Francis continued on to speak about how special it was for him personally to be there during the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, that, of course, that was an opportunity for both adoration and what he called popular piety, because he said, this is what the people of God are called to do. He said, to worship, to pray, to journey together, and to wander and to do penance. And, of course, Our Lady of Sorrows reminds us of all those things. He also said that the pilgrimage took him to the roots of the faith, because it allowed him to, in his words, to touch the roots of faith that go all the way back to the 9th century. He said those roots are living. He said they're full of what he called the vital lymph of the Holy Spirit. And so much of that, of course, has been conserved so beautifully in that area. He said, it's not necessarily been ideologized or exploited out of interest or prestige or power, but instead preserved in a very beautiful way. And then he said that another important aspect of his apostolic visit was that it was a pilgrimage of hope. So he expressed a joy in the way that he saw hope in the eyes of so many young people. Of course, there was that event in Colse where an auditorium was absolutely packed with children. They had a special encounter where they asked questions of Pope Francis. And he said he saw hope, not only in those children, but in the many people who cared for those children, who care for their neighbor, also in the missionary sisters of charity who care for the homeless people in Bratislava. So today, John, he concluded his reflections, offering his gratitude to the bishops, to the civil authorities of Slovakia and Hungary, and of course to the many faithful who took part in that papal journey, John.
And Ashley, I always find it amazing how young people are drawn to the Vicar of Christ, to the Holy Father, whether it's Pope Francis or Pope Benedict or Pope St. John Paul II. There's something about the Holy Father that attracts the young people. We see it at World Youth Days. We see it at the audiences. You've seen it with your own eyes. What do you suppose it is that young people are so attracted to the Vicar of Christ?
Well, John, I think that young people especially are looking for a father. I think that they're looking for guidance. They're looking for direction in life. And of course, the teachings of the Catholic Church provide all of those things and a very strong path of direction for young people. So it really is fascinating to see at papal events. You know, my husband John and I moved here in the year 2008, and at Pope Benedict XVI's audiences, and by the way, his audiences were absolutely packed every single week, and there were always lots of young people there, and it's so fun to see people waving flags, singing songs, holding banners.
It's like a soccer game. It's you got
like
the flags going and the chants going
exactly.
And all the different languages. Yeah, I've
right.
had the blessing of being, especially at the outdoor audiences out in the Piazza di San Pietro, as well as in the Paul VI Hall. But it's always more exciting mm-hmm. outdoors where you get a much bigger crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so true. It's so true. And it's fun because in this case, it is like a soccer game in the sense of the level of excitement. But the best part is that in this case, everybody's on the same team, right?
There you go.
We're all cheering for the same guy. And there is this beautiful sense of unity and fellowship just to be at one of these public audiences, John.
According to a report from a Catholic news agency, the Holy Father also talked about the Christian faith in Europe, and he feels that it's being diluted by consumerism and ideologies. And can you talk about this being something important on the heart and in the mind of Pope Francis?
Yes. So, yes, he has said that this is something that we all have to be aware of. He said that the solution to this is to become a servant of others. Otherwise, we are all in the danger of looking at others in a utilitarian way. How can that person serve me? I am only going to do something for someone who can do something for me in return. So he warned about the dangers of that and encouraged everyone to become servants of others. He said the path of servanthood is really the path of salvation, and asked all the faithful to reflect on that and to keep that in mind each day, John.
And one of the things that I came away from that trip also is just a reminder of the beauty and the gift that we have in Eucharistic adoration of our Blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I think that that's a great reminder, something that we can really apply to our daily lives, that reminder to spend some time with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes, that he is always there. We can always go to our local church anywhere in the world and find him there. And there's just this morning I attended a mass in St. Peter's Basilica and had the opportunity there to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament right there in the chapel above the bones of St. Peter himself. So it's incredible to think that that's a gift that we all share and have easy access to.
Absolutely. Ashley, Pope Francis also urged theologians gathering in Rome yesterday, Tuesday, to promote a renewed understanding of contemporary challenges in light of the wisdom of the cross. What was the Holy Father's message to this International Theological Congress?
Yeah, well, so to start with just a little background on what that Congress is all about. So right now there's a special Congress called the Wisdom of the Cross in a Pluralistic World. And it's taking place here in Rome. It's at the Pontifical Lateran University. And it started yesterday and it goes until the 24th. Now it's part of many special celebrations going on to mark the 300th anniversary of the founding of the Passionist Order. Now, this was founded by St. Paul of the Cross here in Italy in 1720. And so the theme of the Jubilee Year of the Passionists is renewing our mission, gratitude, prophecy, and hope. It actually began on the 22nd of November of last year, and it will finish on the 1st of Jan of 2022. So those words that you mentioned, John, were Pope Francis speaking to theologians to renew this understanding in light of the wisdom of the cross, so that this is in line with the desire of St. Paul of the Cross, again, the founder of the Passionists, to, in the words of Pope Francis, to ensure that the Paschal mystery be the center of the Christian faith and that it's proclaimed and disseminated in response to divine charity, and that it's addressed and the expectations and hope of the world are. So the Holy Father went on, he said, the cross of the Lord is a source of salvation for people of every place, of every time. It's vibrant, it's effective, and above all, it is like a crossroads and should be, and the cross is something that should be looked at to any time that people find themselves at a crossroads, find themselves in a time, as he said, characterized by complex changes. So according to Pope Francis, he said that when contemplating the crucified Christ, here you see every human dimension is embraced by Christ's mercy. And the way that Christ manages to join the vertical relationship with God, the horizontal relationship with the humanity, into a fraternal union that the death of Christ has made universal. So finally, John, the Pope said that the cross is a source of salvation for people of every place and every time.
You, as you're speaking, Ashley, I was having a flashback to the Holy Father in an empty St. Peter Square last year. Remember that dramatic event for the whole world to see in front of the Holy Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, with just the Holy Father and no one else practically in that empty piazza. And so I know that the cross for Pope Francis is so important, and that the message of the cross is so important for all of us.
Yes, and I have good news to tell you, John, too, which is that St. Peter's Square is no longer empty.
Oh, yes.
So we've come a long way, haven't we?
Absolutely. In fact, it occurred to me that if anyone has any question about Rome, what goes on at the papal audiences, maybe they're going to Rome sometime soon and they'd like to be shown around, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We have open lines, and you can ask Ashley directly from Roma. Ashley, the Vatican is going to be requiring all visitors and personnel to show COVID-19 passes, provided that they have been vaccinated, they've recovered from the coronavirus, or they've tested negative for COVID in order just to get into Vatican City starting on October 1st. How is this being received? Fill us in.
Sure enough. So a little background on that, John. So this was decreed yesterday by the Vatican City State. So it came through Cardinal Bertello, who's the president of the Vatican City State, but it was at the request of Pope Francis himself, who asked that this should go through. And so what this means is that there will be Vatican police at the entrances of St. Peter's, who will be checking people's papers to make sure that they are allowed to enter the Basilica. Now, this has been the case at the Vatican Museums since the 6th of August, but of course the church was a place where all could enter and be welcome. And so this will change everything, as you mentioned, John, starting the 1st of October. So this, of course, includes all employees of the Vatican as well. They will also have to have their proper papers that will be checked by the police in order to enter into Vatican City. So now, regarding your question, and actually there's one other note, John, too, which is that if someone does not have a green pass and would like to attend the Holy Mass, they will be allowed in, but only for the duration of the celebration, and they cannot leave that particular altar where the celebration occurs, and they must leave immediately after.
Are they wearing masks, and are they still doing social distancing inside St. Peter's Basilica?
Yes. So they, yes to both of those things. So masks are still there and social distancing is required as well. And so as far as your question about what the reaction has been, well, the Italian government has been lauding this move. They think that this is a great precedent to set. On the other hand, for example, there are many priests who are saying something very different. One priest noted that it was a big blow, especially after the masses for priests were banned in St. Peter's Basilica, celebrating those private masses on the main floor by the Pope, and then now this as well. Also, there were some people in St. Peter's Square who had a very interesting take, talking about that, you know, here this is such an important place of faith. They felt that this was a dehumanizing move, especially to have police checking papers to enter is really, a whole new door that gets opened. And so they pointed out as well that the vaccine, it's now been shown through studies that it doesn't make one immune, nor does it make that person unable to transmit the virus. And so there are a lot of questions going on. There's a huge conversation on Twitter that's going on right now, as well as in various Italian journals and periodicals. So I think we're going to be hearing about the reactions to this for quite a while. And also it's been also brought up that, you know, what could this lead to? I think one of the things I was hearing from the faithful again and again is, will we be barred from the Holy Mass? And so that, of course, has already happened, for example, in Canada in the Archdiocese of Moncton, where the bishop there has banned all of the anyone who is not does not have a vaccine, that they would not be able to enter the church, and there will be volunteers checking for that full proof of vaccination. So I think that we need to keep our eyes on this story, John, because the reactions are going to continue to come out in these following days.
Ashley, it sounds like the reactions in Rome are similar to what's going on here in this country. There's a lot of people questioning the CDC, but to commend Vatican City, at least they're recognizing people who have had COVID, and that is one of the buckets that they are considering, not just the people who have had the vaccine. So that in many ways, that is sort of a plus.
You know, a lot of Americans have noted that, John, because apparently that is not necessarily being recognized in the U.S. as much. But here, if you have recovered from COVID within the last 6 months, that, and you have proof of that through a doctor's note, et cetera, then that's actually that is good enough in order to get a green pass in order to enter into a place like St. Peter's.
Pope Francis always has something, a little nugget, very valuable words of wisdom to share at his Angelus address on Sundays. Mm-hmm. This past Sunday, he talked and said that in God's eyes, success is measured not on what someone has, but on what someone gives. This is an important teaching by the Holy Father, Ashley.
Yeah, yes, it is. In fact, he was reflecting on Mark 9, so verses 30 to 37, and specifically the words, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. And Pope Francis called that phrase of Jesus, he called it shocking. And he said that it's a real reversal because it overturns the worldly understanding about what matters and that the value of a person doesn't depend on the role they have, the title they have, the work they do, the money they have in the bank, but in the way that they serve others. And he said that this, you're serving others, he says it has a cost. In fact, he said it tastes like a cross. But as people care and they offer availability towards others, the more and more they do it, the more and more free they become inside, the more like Christ himself. And he said, the more that people serve, the more they are aware of Christ's presence. And then he also noted, John, that after making that declaration about service, that Christ brought a child before his disciples. And he said those words, whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me. So the Pope said that in the gospel, the child doesn't symbolize innocence as much as littleness, because it's the little ones, those who are like children, who depend on others. They have to, because only by depending on others can little ones receive what they need. And Pope Francis reminded all that Jesus embraces the children. And he says that those who welcome a little one actually welcome him, actually welcome Christ himself. So those were some of the words for that Angelus this past Sunday, John.
Great, great message. And tomorrow is the feast of Saint Pio of Petrachina.
Yes.
How is the feast of one of the most famous and beloved saints of modern times, Padre Pio, being celebrated in Rome, in Italy? We have about 2 minutes, Ashley.
Padre Pio is, you can imagine, celebrated in a huge way. Imagine that you walk into stores in Rome. Everybody has to have their picture of Padre Pio hanging up. So in the town of San Giovanni Rotondo, where he is entombed, there have been novenas happening, special masses happening, vespers. But one thing that's extra special is tomorrow on his feast day itself, there's going to be an act of dedication of the children. So it's literally where parents and their children come and they dedicate their children, their growth in holiness, their protection to Padre Pio himself. But then here in Rome, the Church of San Salvatore in Lauro is holding a very special event. So inside of that church, there are some relics, really wonderful relics. There is a glove that Padre Pio used to wear to cover his stigmata, some drops of his blood, a stole that he wore when he inaugurated the hospital, of course, that he inspired to be built down in San Giovanni. And there will be a wonderful procession that goes from this church, goes about 10 minutes to Piazza Navona. We'll pray the rosary. They hold a statue of Padre Pio high. And of course, there in Piazza Navona, we're standing in the ruins of the Circus of Domitian, a place where so many Christians were put to death. And instead, people are together, united, praying in thanksgiving for the many gifts that Padre Pio, through his intercession, has given to our church, John.
Absolutely. Saint Padre Pio, pray for us. Ashley, as Amen. Always, it's been wonderful to be with you. You always bring Rome to home in a big-time way for our audience. Thanks so much.
It is a delight to be with you. God bless. Arrivederci.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.